Media when he covers your story will be
built from the ground up.
He's a motherfucker. Motherfucker, Jason Lee.
Listen, you know what always goes down at the Jason Lee Show, and I love every guest I've had so far, but this next guest has been not just a friend of mine and the culture, but it's put on for so many black people, including my black ass. Talk show host, radio show host, executive producer, comedian, rapper, artist, baby daddy, father, Nick Cannon.
Hey! Beloved, you good?
I'm great.
I see you, Louis down, got the Air Force Ones on.
I bought this with my Wildin' Out check.
I see. Oh, shit, you got a different type of checks now.
No, listen, before we even get into it, I got to give you flowers. And I really feel like...
No, I don't want no flowers first. You don't want that.
No.
You okay? You good?
I'm better.
Okay, because they said Jason was in his feelings because I ain't showed up yet. So I was like...
Well, listen.
I'm just trying to make sure you're good.
I know you've been busy.
Give me a hug, man.
Okay.
We gotta start this shit off right, man.
I'm not gonna say I was in my feelings. Yes, I was.
You was in your feelings. It's okay to be sensitive.
I was in my feelings. I'm gonna tell you why I was in my feelings. Okay, first we have to start by saying I'm now like in this whole mind. I'm in my mind about like who my relationships are. I know you've gone through that.
And I was saying this is hard. That's why I was like, I'm gonna come fuck with you because I know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Having to do a daily show, you know, obviously I got one now, but even more, I was isolated out in Harlem every day. And that's where you were like, you want your people that fuck with you to actually come and support you, especially when you're trying to put on for the culture.
But it was less about the show. Let me tell you what he's talking about. So when we started the show, of course, there were the top people I wanted to have on the show, not just because the show demand of delivering a show.
Right, right.
But because of how important they are to me. And I will say, and this is where I was going to give your flowers, I'll kind of weave it in here. On my journey of building Hollywood Unlocked, it has been a fucking task.
Right.
And you don't know who really believes in you. And I know when I had you on my last podcast, the Hollywood Unlocked podcast, you came on and we had a great time. And in the show, I said, hey, nigga, I can't do Love and Hip Hop no more. This is ghetto shit. It's just not a reflection of who I want to be. I want to go on Wildin' Out. I said it as a joke.
Right.
And then I left and went on vacation, and I don't rap, I don't sing, I don't really have that kind of talent, at least I didn't think I did. And then I got on a plane and went to Hawaii, did my whole Jennifer Lewis manifestation moment where I went on the balcony and said, all right, nigga, if it's meant to be, put me on TV, and then literally landed in LA. You were the only message that said, you ready? And you brought me on Wildin' Out.
And you killed it.
Well, no, I went through the boot camp.
Oh, no, you got to do that. You got to go through the
work. For those that don't, you want to tell everybody what boot camp
is? We do, like, literally a boot camp, you know, a few weeks before. Because we get everybody who always says they want to do it, but then we got to see if you really got the skills to operate as an improv performer. I mean, that takes a lot, and it really just takes being fearless. And we put everybody through this treacherous workshop of teaching them all of the improv games and everything you see on Wildin' Out, but just really testing they mental toughness and their mental ability. And you pass with flying colors, man. You killed it. How many seasons you do?
I did 5 seasons, but I did not pass with flying colors. I remember the first boot camp.
Yes.
I literally, and I'm a thug in every meaning of the way, left crying boot camp, because when you see Nick up there with everybody, it looks easy because they make it look easy, but it's really, really hard.
It tests your spirit in so many ways.
It tests your spirit, and Niall is a bully.
He's a showrunner, but he's a big dog. I mean, he started this show with me almost 20 years ago now. And he whips everybody into shape. But it's tough love. That's
it's
what it
tough
is.
Tough love.
Because he want to see you win. And everybody, if you get through it, you win.
But you want to see everybody win, too, because there was a boot camp that I went to the hotel, and I was literally crying because I was done. They had wore all my emotions out. Now told me to get on the ground and act like I was fighting an alligator who wasn't there. And I thought that was embarrassing because I was 323 pounds at the time.
All right.
And I was not comfortable, but... I wanted to quit, and they said, Nick said, you can't quit.
You can't, man. Come on. Yeah, I got that far. And the fact that I knew what it was going to do for you, because people got a chance to see you in a different light. And, I mean, the rest is history. Wildin' Out no more.
The rest is not just history. The rest is the championship belt, which I want. Y'all better clap it up for me. I want the belt.
It's it. Now, what he's telling y'all is not only did he rock it as a cast member for 5 seasons, but he is the Jason Lee. You can put the in front of the Lee now. He came back for season 20, and that's coming soon. And it's probably going to be one of the most controversial episodes we've ever had.
But it was also... It was also the episode where I felt the most comfortable. And I have to say, again, part of giving you your flowers, I had fallen out with Viacom. They did not want me back.
Me too.
They didn't want me back. And you not only fought to get me back, but you fought to make sure, your team did make sure that I was paid what you felt I deserved.
Yeah.
And everything was great. And they welcomed me back with open arms. But, you know, you create so many opportunities for us. And I don't know if you get all the credit that you deserve.
Yeah,
but
I
want to
no
say
credit for that though. Like I just had to operate on the highest frequency, man. Just try to give. Like now I'm at a point in my career. I've done everything I could ever want to do. So now it's just really just putting on for people and continue to build platforms so people like yourself can shine, man, and provide for your loved ones. So that's like to me. I don't need flowers or recognition. I always say, don't give me no flowers. I'm still out here in the garden. Like I'm still trying. I'm out here planting. I'm still out here trying to get it done. So. It's a blessing to be able to operate that way, man. Like to be able to wake up and my job is to be creative and to help people. So it's like it's you doing this and shining, and I mean obviously you was doing stuff before we even got down. But anytime you see somebody on one of my platforms, and they take it to the next level, that's reward enough. That's blessings enough.
Yeah. So what he was saying early on, where he said that he heard I was mad.
I
ain't gonna lie. I first got in my feelings when Nick decided to not only change his phone number but get rid of a phone.
Yeah. Like, but that's everybody got mad. My baby mom. I don't have an actual phone. And then so let me.
Why was that though? Why?
Because I'll give you another perfect example. That last phone number I had. There's somebody out there that's like perpetrating as me. And like setting meetings and stuff.
Really?
Like that's the type of stuff. If you don't have a phone number, like then people can't say, "Oh, I was just talking to Nick." Like, nah, I got an email. The email will never change. It goes to my iPhone device.
So you can FaceTime audio.
Yeah, you can FaceTime. I could text, but the number does not exist because of the simple reason. Because like fraud and people be getting in your contacts and shit like that. So I don't have a phone. But it also, the caveat to that is it probably makes me a little less accessible for people who don't know all they got to do is just hit me on the email. But it keeps a lot of the low frequency bullshit away.
I was told that. So it wasn't because Kevin Hart put your number on the billboard.
Oh, that was the last.
Was that the real number?
No, that's when I had two phones.
Was that the real number?
Yeah, 100%. And that phone blew up and then like that shit was. But my email, if you got my email, you got me forever.
Okay, so yeah, so when you gave up the phone and I couldn't reach you, and then you unfollowed.
But you could
DM me. Wait, no, you are responsive when you really need to get to you. But then you also unfollowed everybody. I say he unfollowed us all and got rid of the phone.
Sometimes you gotta unplug, Jay. Sometimes you gotta go find your peace, man. Especially in this crazy world. Like I play the game with all the best of them. But I need to separate my real life from all of this shit. So sometimes I just unplug and tap in with the kids and the family and just don't. Most of the time when I'm with my family, I don't keep my phone on me. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep it in the car. I'll keep it somewhere. So then when I'm with family, I'm just with family. But to your point, because I have so many kids, I gotta check in every few hours just in case something is going up.
Well, the last time you were here, not on this show, but on Hollywood Unlocked, you had three kids.
And now times four.
So
I'm multiplying.
So you went from three kids, now you got 12.
Yeah.
Do you have another one on the way? Because I thought I saw something online.
Everybody keeps saying that. Y'all know some shit I don't know.
I saw somewhere that you had 13.
Yeah, nah, we ain't got there yet. We very comfortable with the disciple dozen that I got. I'll keep my constellations at 12. So 12 is a righteous number. I'm going to stay there.
But from 3 to 12, how? Because...
The pandemic, Jason. That's
okay. So you just said, I'm just going to drop dick off until the pandemic is over.
Until they open outside back up.
But was it because you want, what was it for?
You want a real answer?
No, a real answer.
You want to go viral?
No, because I saw, like, now here's the thing I know. I know how much you care about your kids. I know how present you are in everybody's life.
Yeah.
I know how, even when you may be having personal issues related to lupus or your health or other things are going on, you're still very much there for everybody.
Gotta be.
So from 3 to 12 is a lot, especially when you're
not. I see. To me, and again, I'm pretty sure they'll chop this up and, you know, misconstrue my words because they like to villainize everything that I say. But which I'm fine. I'm good with being a villain. But for me, it doesn't seem like it's too much. Because I have a set of twins that are turning 12 years old, April 30th, who are amazing. The most
extremely talented too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some of the most dynamic people. I can't believe they came out of me. But I probably got to give more credit to Mariah than to me for all of their giftedness. But so that's two, and then I have three with two different baby moms. So just right off bat, that's eight right there. That's only really three households. And so, and even in that, that's two sets of twins as well. So it's not like I was just out there moving and grooving. And then, you know, based off of everybody else, you know, everybody, I got two with Alyssa, and then I have two other baby moms who have one.
But I know you're very
interested. That didn't sound like that much, right? That sounds like that's easy
to
manage. They all live in the same vicinity.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. But here's the thing. I know you're a very intentional person. You are not
so much calculated.
Calculated. Yeah. So what was the calculation of having all these kids? Is it legacy? Is it love? Was it individual reasons?
Yeah, my therapist told me, do not call my children my legacy.
Okay.
Because your children are your children. They have their own lives. You don't... Your job, we get the opportunity and the blessing to help cultivate them for a certain amount of time, but that we're borrowing God's gifts, so that they're not mine. But our legacies are the things that we build. I want to have a children's hospital. I want a street named after. That's the legacy stuff. To me, my children are real, like I said, borrowed gifts and blessings. But to answer your question, it really is being so calculated. I think, you know, I'm too much of a giver. I'm too much of a people pleaser. And
you gave a lot and you pleased a lot of people.
But that's what I'm saying. So in that sense, and I don't want to generalize or disrespect any of the mothers of my children, so I kind of have to operate individually. But to say everybody, I had those, you know, grown-up conversations with everybody, and it just happened to be around a similar time to where, you know, everyone desired, you know, to have children, and I was all for it. And I'm one of those people, like, you can't tell me I can't have too much. I'm an anti-authoritarian, so you can't say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm like, watch me do it. And, you know, I am a provider in its nature, and I think I'm doing a pretty damn good job about it so far. I mean, obviously people, you know, create narratives and stuff to try, but I ain't heard nobody complaining.
No, so I remember a long time ago when I was in my whole quest of figuring out what a relationship looked like, Floyd Mayweather said, you can have as many relationships as you can afford. And I feel like you can have as many kids as you can afford.
Yeah. But then that comes to the contract, because everybody's like, it ain't about money. It don't matter. Fatherhood ain't got nothing
providing.
To do with finance.
It's about providing. Not just finance, but you're present too.
Man, I'm coaching. I'm at recitals. I'm at ballet. You know what I mean? I think I'm doing a good job, but like I said, the only people's opinion that I truly care about are my children. And I pray that we continue, you know, a lot of them are young right now, but as they grow older, that, you know, I will forever be there for them, and if they need anything, and, you know, I'm sure it's gonna be challenging at times, but hopefully they know we operate out of love and that daddy did his best, and, you know, that's... I can't do nothing other than that. Like I said, I'm just trying to get better every day in every way.
What about the mother of your children? Do you care about what each of them think as
100%.
Well?
100%. I mean, I don't really care what they think, but I care about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we have to have some very mature and adult co-parenting conversations daily. It's not like I would be... That's the other thing. I never want people to be like thinking this is easy. Or like, oh, I got this. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I embrace it and love it, it's just like every day it's a new challenge, and I welcome the challenge is what it is. So I never see, like, of course, every relationship has disagreements, of course, especially, like I said, shouts out to all the amazing women who have my children, because to have to hear shit every day, to have to, like, maneuver amongst their own friends and family and be like, what you doing, girl? Like, you got to be super strong. You got to be super confident within self to know that, look, I love my kids first, but all of that outside noise, I got to shut out and not operate in a low frequency, because we all see the comments. We all see, you know, what y'all be saying on here. It's like,
but we don't be saying anything.
I saw
what you said on your talk show too, talking about you was gonna sue me and Angie from the Shade Room. I called my turn.
I love Angie from the Shade Room, though.
And we love you too. Yeah. We are only a reflection. We are only a mirror of, you know, what you're building, what you're doing.
No, you not. You ain't no fucking reflection. No, because this is what I would say. And as much, because I know, again, you guys got to do your job.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. So I'm never against that. But it's more about the way the narrative is painted. See, like, so, and I get how it works. So we'll sit here and we'll have an hour, 2 hour conversation, right? And then from that aspect, you got to create your headlines or your clickbait to go out there for everybody to watch it. So usually you'll take a portion of what's said and then that becomes the headline. And then no one actually gets to see the intellectual conversation.
Because people do watch shows and clips.
They don't watch so the just watch the clips and we gotta get the most viral clip, which I know we're gonna make some viral shit pop off today.
Absolutely.
But hey, this man is a master at this. But it then shifts the narrative to a space of untruth. And then once you operate, because that's the thing about society today. We've been so demoralized that truth no longer matters. Mm-hmm. So like when a society is demoralized, all they just want is information. And where truth used to be the thing that we need to survive, now all we want is information. So the more shit we hear, information creates low frequency.
But who's really in control of that? Because I mean, when you think about it, you know, I'll give you an example. You had Canon class, which I didn't get to come on Canon class. Yeah. I still haven't been there.
I got to bring it back, though.
Got to bring it
back. But I got to bring it back carefully because they didn't want it. It was too much.
But that's what I'm saying. So when you talk about information, I felt like Canon class was extremely educational.
Yes.
It was informative in a way that real is rare and they couldn't really digest it all.
Yeah.
And then the fearlessness coupled with intelligence and a space to allow people to really have free thought came with a price.
Yeah, man. You can't let them know how smart you are because then that's when they want shut you down and shift other conversations about you because there's like, you know, he got it two together. So we got to throw some smut on his name.
Well, I'll bring this up now because I wanted to talk about that. You know, when the whole Viacom thing went down, you had the Canon class, you had the interview.
Interview Professor Griff.
And it was extremely, I thought, informative.
See, this is what I've learned though in that process too, because there's this thing called pontification, and that's where—
I don't know that word.
Pontification means really that you're just expressing all that you know, soapboxing. You know, we see that a lot on Fox News and CNN to where they're just debating just for no reason. They ain't really looking for resolution. They're just looking for just really shine. I mean, we all sold our souls to this horrible thing called social media, and really all we want, like clicks, and clout is the new cocaine, and we all ODing on it just based off it because we
want. I'm gonna
use
that quote.
Yeah,
clicks and clout, the new coke.
Yeah, it is because we all are slaves to the attention that this platform provides. So we get up here and we pontificate. And I was definitely an abuser of that, especially when I was going to Howard because I created Canon's class to really. I did all of that. Well, that was actually a real class, but I was doing it to show how smart I was. And I had read all of these books and I was trying to show off for an OG. And I was like, man, I read this book. I know this book. I know your book. And we started spitting rhetoric that was actually tropes. A lot of things were, and there's a difference between truth and tropes. The minister Farrakhan always says that no man, especially a leader, wants to spew falsisms. You only want truth to come up. The truth is your sword. So I have to differentiate the things that are actual truth and stand firm on the truth and apologize for all things that are false. And that's that process because I hurt a lot of people in the process because I was spewing some untruths mixed in with truth. And when you do that, you fuck a lot of shit up. You fuck your own credibility up.
But you didn't do it intentionally, though.
No, but that doesn't matter.
So pontification could be accidentally not having.
Well, but see, where the sin that I committed and where the devil was operating in me is that I was just trying. My ego got. I was just trying to. If I wasn't up there just trying to show, look what I know and this and saying this, I would have stepped back. A wise man knows that, you know, he has to be slow to speak and understand I should have let that man speak opposed to me trying to put things out there that I didn't know if what I perceived to be factual. Mm-hmm. And through the process and even what the Jewish community calls teshuva, I took some lessons because everybody thought like I went on this apology tour and like, oh, they made you go to the Holocaust Museum. Like,
nah. I didn't get that.
Yeah. No. What I did, though, I took the step to say, oh, shit, I hurt you. Show me what is wrong. Mm-hmm. Correct me where I'm wrong. If not, y'all got to own some shit, too. Mm-hmm. And now I got my own podcast with the CEO of the ADL called Solutions to Hate or Not to Hate. And we talk weekly about the shit that I was getting canceled for. We deal with it every single week in a very intellectual, intelligent manner. And sometimes like, nah, you got to own that. And he'd be like, well, you got to own it. And we talked about everything from Kyrie to Kanye. And we it's probably the only space on the internet or on television or even through podcasting that you can hear factual Black and Jewish conversation. And the goal is, like I said, to find solutions and not create division.
But I thought the apology you posted on social media was well thought out. But more importantly, what made me mad, because I was one of the first people from Wildin' Out that had a relationship with you personally to go out and publicly speak about how I thought the cancellation attempt was bullshit.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Now, I'm not
that.
Saying that the accountability or whatever, because I'm pro-accountability
culture. Yeah, always take accountability for anything you do wrong, but then don't, because they, as they know, they jump to conclusions as well and actually were putting forth the stereotypes and the tropes by attempting to cancel me. I got word from someone in the higher up said that they had to make an example out of me.
Right.
But so that's what, you make example out of bucks. You make example out of property and slaves. So terminology alone got people a little nervous.
Which would bring about the conversation that maybe you were heading down the right path, because when you make examples out of people for the wrong reasons instead of holding them accountable, then you start to whip up other emotions of people who feel the certain way
that
they
feel. It was such a difficult position for me, because where I was actually trying to walk that thin line and do right and apologize for my wrongdoings, then I got an entire community of people, my people, that are saying, don't apologize for nothing. Stand up straight, be firm. You was right, you know. Look what they did to you. And it's like, I can't. Like, so it was a very tough
But I felt
situation.
Like your silence allowed enough conversation to happen that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get out there every day gaslighting the culture or attacking.
And
you.
I could have, but real life was going on for me during that time. Obviously, that was 2020, which was a horrendous year for so many of us. But literally that same week, in the midst of my cancelization, one of my artists that I have been trying to cultivate and really help, who had been in and out of different facilities and had a horrible incident with the police, where the police ended up shooting him, and we were working him. He went in a coma, working through rehabilitation. I got a call literally 2 days after my cancellation, and I had been communicating with him through, like, that he had murdered himself and shot himself. So that, like, really, that was the biggest eye opener for me. It was like, this shit does not matter whatsoever. And I just zoned in and focused on one, my own family, but then the things that truly matter, because, man, nothing's promised, man. We live on it. That stuff like that makes you see how small you are. And you know what I mean? Really, we on this spinning rock with like a fraction of a millisecond, when it looks like everything that this thing has done is like the significance of who you are. We got to make the best. I think we too hard on each other as humans. I think, you know, we're too judgmental. I think if people really understood how to operate out of love, and that's the glue that brings us all together, and that we got way more similarities than differences. I mean, if you even look at our DNA infrastructure, man, like, that shit alone shows that there's really no differences in it. Like, if we talking about complexion or even culture and things like that, we've all been through some shit. You don't have to do oppression Olympics. You don't have to say what community suffers more than another. It's just like, yo, we all fucked up out here.
We don't have to politic each other's pain or say I suffer more than you.
I call it the oppression Olympics. We ain't got to do that shit. Like it's really like, yo, look out for one another. Like, try to help somebody instead of trying to, you know, divide. And, you know, people don't like that. People like to turn me into the villain a lot of times, because I do speak out and I do say things. And if you know my heart, you know I'm only trying to do it from a good place.
But that's the part that I wanted to talk about. And that was part of why I really wanted you on early on the show, because at Wildin' Out.
But you was mad and he was like, fuck him.
I never said fuck him. I did say fuck a couple people on your team, but I'll tell you afterwards. No, but I will say, like, people think at Wildin' Out that we're sitting up plot with Nick. Nick walks out, prays, gets on stage, performs, and then leaves.
Yeah.
There may be a Wildin' Out girl or two that go with. No, I'm just
no longer. I've learned.
But no, we don't. But the one thing I always wanted to ask you was, when the cancellation shit was going on, and you were giving a lot of people grace.
Yeah.
You know, when you see what happened with Kyrie, he made a mistake. However, maybe through a lack of education or whatever, the public beatings and lashings and that I called a lynching was to teach us all to stay in our place. Or but if you don't, there's extreme consequences.
A lot of people don't remember. Again, I don't ever like to take credit for anything, but I was probably one of the first people to speak up for Kyrie.
I remember.
And I spoke up directly to the head of the ADL and be like, yo, this is a term. Do you know what the term buck breaking is? He had no idea what the term buck breaking was. And I broke it down to where it's like, yo, back in the day, when a slave got out of line, they would put him on public display and do some horrendous things and really emasculate them to let all the other men that they owned say, you are getting out of line. So obviously that's extreme when we're talking about that. But when you can put another man on display for making a mistake and say he has to follow these rules, therefore you have to stay in line and we have to make an example out of you, you're creating just as much harm and just as much low frequency negativity than what initiated the entire thing. So if we're really all trying to come together, it's more about understanding. That's the term I was telling you about, teshuvahs, where a community can embrace each other. And I think even in South Africa, even during apartheid, they created a term called truth and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And even all the ideas of atonement, those ideas of repentance, start with the truth. If it was a mistake, it's a mistake. If there's truth or whatever it is, deal with that matter and then reconcile based off of that. But you have to start from those practices. So like I said, I will continue to do that. You know what I mean? If I see one of our brothers, if I see anybody being hung out to dry or like, who's not above the opportunity of repentance? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I say we too hard on each other. Just like, to me, the way the universe operates, it does not punish or reward any of us. It just reacts to energy. Mm-hmm. So whatever you give off, if you give off love, you're gonna get love. Mm-hmm. If you're a negative motherfucker, you're gonna get negativity back. And so therefore, it's the idea of like, look, we all gonna fuck up at some point. We all gonna do something that people don't agree with, but again, what are you saying? Like that, we got damn near minutes on this planet. When you think about it, like, so I come from that understanding, man. Like, let's do as much as we possibly can, as much positive, high frequency shit that we can, and hopefully it outweighs the negative bullshit. So when it's all said and done, we can say, yo, we rode this shit till the wheels fell off.
So when I started everything I was doing, Queen Latifah said, make sure that you connect deeply to the black audience, get them behind you, and then take them on a journey with you as you move into more mainstream opportunities. Yeah. I feel like you and her are two people that I can...
Shout out to Dana. We love her.
We love Dana. You, her, Kevin Hart, I feel like are a few people who've
been... High-frequency people.
...really connected to the culture and then moved through and have had mainstream success but still stay deep-rooted in the culture.
Got to.
Do you think that's when they try to cancel or try to cancel the show, they couldn't because the culture showed up and you owned... And you're an owner also.
Yeah. There's a lot of that goes to it, but I think it's spiritual warfare at the end of the day. When people like yourself, like other people who are really the people you name... operate at such a high frequency and at a high velocity, you stop hearing the bullshit, the shit, the negativity. And so therefore, I believe there's certain energies that are trying to come for you. So you're more vulnerable when you're up here. You know what I mean? And as much as you're not in the day-to-day grind of it, so that's why they tell you to stay grounded. But eagles can only stay grounded for so long. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's those ideas where, like you said, you got to tap in, you got to make sure you being authentic, so then the culture will always fuck with you, but at the same time, you got to take the culture with you. And like, it's all about elevation, it's all about drive, bringing everybody, because a lot of us get caught up and be so high frequency that we stop fucking with, you know, where we come from. And then when you need them, they're like, nah, you ain't been rocking with it. So right. I always just try to stay true. And I go back to, you know, San Diego every weekend, you know, just to tap in just with my family, with the neighborhood, just based off of that helps, that those are those times. But I can't stay there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's about plugging in. And even when I say I got to unplug from all of this shit, that's where I plug back in, and where like I take out the garbage at my grandmama's house. You know what I mean? She got this little old ass wiener dog that I got to clean up the shit after. Like, she don't care.
But what does taking out the garbage represent? I mean, does that represent?
Because that's what she thinks. If she needs me to do something in her 80s, I'ma humble myself at any point and say I'll pick up this dog shit. I'll take out your garbage. When I'm in my office making hundreds of million dollar deals, somebody else comes in and gets the garbage. So that aspect of it is like, my grandmother, my mother, those type of people will always, and I actually don't even like to say humble, because humble means to make yourself lower, to make yourself small. It's more about they bring me, they level me out. They make sure I'm aligned, because the things that they instilled in me and the values, the moral compass that they brought to me at the beginning will never go away, because they don't see a celebrity. They don't see, they see their son, mm-hmm. you know, their loved one. And the fact that, you know, they want me to be as healthy as I possibly can. They want me spiritually, mentally, and physically. They want to make sure that the person that they knew before all of this shit is still solid mm-hmm. and still well taken care of.
We talked about cancellation earlier. One of your friends who I used to have a really close friendship with, not as close anymore, is Chris Brown.
Right.
He's been canceled, but now I feel like he's come back. He's done the work. He's done the work on himself. He's talented as fuck.
They too hard.
The AMA's played in his face, which
same thing. Like, that's somebody I've been speaking up for my little brother.
But I want to say it's not only supporting him publicly, but you put him in a film. You've been his friend. You've been available to him.
And I will continue to, man.
But why do they keep playing in his face and not allow him redemption and an opportunity to move forward?
Optics. Mm-hmm. It's all optics. I mean, first of all, that man was a teenager, but he had to live through a horrendous mistake in front of the world. And we all saw that
as a kid.
Horrible picture of Rihanna on TV. I blame, you know, again, the media from, like, because I was mad when I saw that photo. And, you know, knowing both of them, but again, that was man is in his 30s now.
Yeah.
And that's the horrible thing about how this generation has to grow up, because you have to relive your mistakes every single day. Like,
but
imagine,
if you're a black man.
Nah, white people too.
Not like black men?
Because I think, like, even like, I mean, because, and we've all heard the stories and the rumors and stuff, but like, and that's why I say it's optics, it's visual, it's the thing. Like, if we heard that there's rumors going around, allegedly, I ain't gonna fuck with me on this thing, but about like
Jonathan Majors.
I was gonna go back in the day, because you said white, black.
Yeah, okay.
I was gonna go Sean Penn and Madonna.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We heard that Sean Penn was throwing hands.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we didn't see it. We didn't see a picture of Madonna all bloodied and bruised. Like, now there's video and everything. So one, nobody should hit anybody. Mm-hmm. But the idea of that this generation, and especially you put black on top of it, then they want to turn you into a monster. Then they want to instantly villainize you because they already fear you. So then they feel like they can't relate to you, and they start calling you names and calling you an animal and how dare he. But that's all based off of the media and the optics. Mm-hmm. If they really wanted to give Chris an opportunity, you know what I mean? They would get a chance to understand him and get a chance to know him and look at his resilience and everything that he actually has overcome and the brilliance and the giftedness that he is. He's made so many people happy through music, through his art. And he truly does want to repent, has repented. It had got on the same page with Rihanna many, many times over
years
and over.
Ago.
Yeah, and
did
even
a song together.
Yeah,
too.
But people won't let that go. Like, to where you have to forever wear that jacket as an abuser. You have to forever wear that scarlet letter that it just shows as humanity we don't really operate out of forgiveness. And if people could just really understand that concept of love. And forgiveness and true understanding is whether it's what Christ was talking about, Buddha was talking about, all of these ancient teachings come from a space where, like, I am not perfect, therefore there's a higher power operating in me, so give me that opportunity to grow and be forgiving.
But that's where you said cancel culture should be council culture, but I also feel like accountability culture is necessary.
Those two, council culture and accountability culture.
But
because part of the council is learning to take accountability for your wrong steps.
But isn't cancel culture designed to cancel culture? Because when you look at, like, Whoopi Goldberg versus Joe Rogan, or you look at, like, when you look at the
First of all, cancel culture is make believe. You know what I mean?
The devil is only in
control of illusions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you fall victim to the illusion, then therefore you operate only in the low frequency. If you know you're greater than the illusion, you can't be canceled. Mm-hmm. So all of this shit, you know, like, that's what the devil has reign over, only illusion. He said you can have all of this, but Jesus knew that wasn't real. Mm-hmm. He knew the real shit that was popping off. So the idea that him being the author of confusion, if I could put something beautiful in front of you, but it's all superficial, and then take it away from you, like, ooh, I desire that. So I know that energy is the true currency. My health is my wealth. So can't nobody cancel that. And that's what I got to keep rocking with. But the idea of, like, tell me somebody who's really canceled.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I always say that cancel culture exists in the minds of black people, but the hands of it, they believe, exist in the hands of mainstream. Yeah. Well, what is mainstream? And
exactly.
All that?
Like,
because
I could, like, say if I fell victim to the several times they've tried to cancel me, and I allowed
have
that.
Have they tried to cancel you more than once?
Yeah. Like, you got it. You just, we ain't gonna bring all this shit up, but it happens quite
then you go
a bit.
Go through my cards real quick.
but that's depressing when you feel the whole world is against you, and you hear your life being debated. You know, constantly, you wanna isolate. And a lot of times that's not healthy, especially when you're dealing with stuff. So that pressure of cancelization can actually take over. And I've gotten to some extremely dark places, but oh, you wanna cancel me? Well, fuck it, I'm out. You know what I mean? And when you start thinking like that, that's when you let the devil win. But if you just be like, man, fuck all that. All right, those people, you know, who run this network or whatever may not fuck with me, but I'm not gonna focus on them. I'm gonna focus on all the people who do fuck with me, and I'm gonna lean in there, and I'm gonna work harder for them, and I'm gonna show the appreciation for them going hard for me, because that's where you understand true relationships. It's like Dr. King said it the best. He was like, the test of a man's true character isn't in times of comfort, but it's in times of controversy. So when I saw other people's character and my character grew, I call it like a character kaleidoscope of seeing everyone's true colors. And I see that as a blessing, because now I know who fuck with me and I know who don't fuck with me. Now, you are, sometimes I feel like you fuck with me and it's sometimes I feel like you just don't fuck with me. Because there's many times where, like you said, you be the first to speak out. And then I see you be having my ex-girlfriends on the couch and shitting on me. You got a whole team of people talking about how I ain't shit.
Nick, don't fuck
with me. So when do you fuck with me?
Well, no, I fuck with you 1,000%. Talking about the interview we had with
the expose.
It was not an expose. It was an interview with Jessica,
who we love dearly, who is extremely talented, who is the beauty is obviously that doesn't even be spoken about. One of the most beautiful women on the planet, but
who you were in love with?
Still in love with.
Who I think you're still in love with.
Yeah.
Who was even part of season opening of like season 16 or whatever 7? I can't
remember.
Man,
that girl, like she's.
You were chasing her.
Yeah, she's been my muse for a long time, and it's been and
Jessica White.
Jessica White. One of the reasons why is because. One, that woman has overcome so much and is just a light and an angel to so many and just operates on a higher frequency. But also when is sensitive and delicate. So when you have outside influences and people talking and always in your business, that shit can be like, you can't treat an angel like that. You can't constantly put negativity on somebody who can't handle negativity. She don't speak negativity. So then when she gets in these settings and you manipulate her to talk bad about me.
Okay, first of all.
Because you know she loved me.
First of all.
So instead of just saying, how much do you love him? You gotta say, how
well,
much
because
of an asshole
no,
is he?
She's told me how much she loves you. Okay,
but that's what you should have been sharing.
He called
with
her
the world.
Angel. She was literally an angel with Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. She's
Victoria's
Secret. Her middle name is actually
Angel. And she doesn't tolerate a lot of drama and mess, and she's not that person, and neither are you, which is crazy. But let me say
this. You brought it out of us.
No, gave her the space to talk. What she said she was hurt was, I didn't know she had gone through a miscarriage with you while you were having
a
baby with Brittany.
And that's her. When she shared that, and you know, like I said, when it comes to any of the mothers of my children, those type of things, as someone who has lost a child as well, like what I've learned, you can't, especially when dealing with a mother, there is no age or stage where you can judge how a woman's emotion should be when losing that child.
Right.
So grievances, people, we operate in different ways. So then when one speaks about that level of pain, you gotta be sensitive to that. And that's why I feel like,
did you feel I betrayed you in having the interview?
Yes!
Seriously.
Because what I saw, and I look past the physical, I look into the spiritual.
I can't believe
I saw manipulation for media
me?
And for clicks.
Wait, you thought I manipulated her?
Yes!
Really?
First of all, you took a woman who was vulnerable and
I came to her house. Where
yeah,
she was staying.
Because this was,
she called me.
We'll dig deeper. Okay, no, because what, and I'll take full blame and accountability for this. Because of the power of the media and who I am in the media, she felt like there was a narrative that tried to make, like, even Wendy, I got at Wendy when she did this shit. Wendy called her crazy.
Called Jessica crazy?
Called her crazy, like, on live television. And there was these narratives about, because that they say about all the mothers of my children. Why are y'all dealing with him? Something must be wrong with y'all. Y'all ain't for the, like, all of this bullshit, all of this low-frequency negativity. So then they put on their armor of protection, which is ego, which is this way, and want to speak and say, I am not all of these negative things that you guys are hurting my feelings with. So what she really wanted was the opportunity to prove that she wasn't crazy, because she's far from crazy, she's brilliant, but because people paint these narratives of women. So she came to you for help because you were the one of the most powerful people in media that she knew, and she was like, I want to show the world that I've been going through stuff, I'm in a lot of pain, and I need healing. And instead of us wrapping our love around her,
I wrapped my love around her with a couple cameras, but I did wrap my love.
Go back and watch that interview. You had your other two call. He don't even listen. I'm like, these motherfuckers are shitting on me, and I was trying to be there.
I can't believe you felt that way.
Shit on me.
But let me say this.
I will go back and watch. White drippy shit.
I'll go back and watch the interview. I don't feel like we were shitting on you, because I'm always present in mind. I do get phone calls from people that go, yo, man, like, we got to protect Nick while you post that. I'm like, first of all, I didn't post that, but that's what's out there online.
Yo, you had 2 hours of content shitting on me.
Okay, so let me ask you, in that, did you feel like you played a part of any of that?
I take full accountability. Like I said, I want her to share her true and honest story at any time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's even why things were like, you know, on the Daily Canon, we got the mother of three of my children, DJ Abby De La Rosa. We talking every day. And
the three of them and you?
Yeah, that's a lot. She's strong. You'll start to see, like, one of the mothers of my children is got her PhD in psychology from Ivy League school. Like, and she's going to tell her story. Her journey is incredible. You got Bree, who we both have been on Wildin' Out with, but, like, one of the, like, top real estate agents in the game. Like, these women will tell their story when they're time and when they're ready to do it. So I want that. I don't want to ever speak for any of them, because I know they can speak for themselves. Even in times of pain, even in times of darkness, I lean on them.
But how are they all finding out about each other? Like, are there conversations?
I fucked up on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, your communication, if you're
early
talking
on,
to
I them. Learned. Like, that's why I take accountability, because I was under the understanding, if I don't share something, it's like I was letting people know information on a need-to-know basis. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to be respectful and delicate during certain people's pregnancies because of, as I've been through many times, you don't want to say nothing for the first trimester because
you don't know.
It could be successful or not. Then even at times, okay, first trimester's up, I want to give you the opportunity to share with the world however you want to talk, and then I will support it. Mm-hmm. So I was, at the time, because there was multiple people pregnant at the same time. So I was trying to do this little dance, and I got fucked up in it you take pregnancy out of it. When you're trying to please multiple people, whether not just physically, but you find yourself in a conundrum of like, all right, well, if I do this for this person may not like how that was perceived or put out there. So I had to be real delicate. And again, I just chose to be quiet. And then when it came out, I would own up to it, take accountability, but even that wasn't the best way, because it got messy, as you've seen on Hollywood Unlocked.
But when you looked at the Jessica White interview, when you look back at it, besides feeling like we were being shady or manipulative and all these titles,
these
pronouns that I refuse to accept.
No, because, and it's not, I wouldn't say you as an individual, but I'm saying for the clicks, for the likes.
But I don't do any interviews thinking about the clicks. I don't. I mean, of course, you have to have the moments that you know are going to be great for promo. Listen, okay, let me throw some out there. Let me throw some out there.
The more clicks, the more shit, the more viral we go, the more our names are known. Therefore, the more money. Like, I get it. You empower me the more you talk about me. The more y'all keep my name in y'all mouth, the mightier I become.
But there's never
And you're been, a professional and a master at
there's
that.
There's never been in my mind an intention of, I'm going to, first of all, I got to go to Wildin' Out. You employ me. I'm not going to, like, I'm gonna go fuck up my bag now too. Like, I don't.
That's what we said. So I think that might have been around your last season.
I started getting called like Jason. Fuck Jason. I'm like, what? Fuck me. Like, what I do? No. Okay.
Because you didn't even, like, you didn't come to us. Like, you just, again, I appreciate giving her a space to speak her narrative is how you guys put
it out. I will say in all fairness, one of the things that people don't know about me is when and this is where Joe Budden got mad at me too and got in his fucking feelings, but I didn't have a relationship with him like I do with you.
Right, right.
I should have picked up the phone and called and said, heads up.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't do that, and people, what I'm learning now, and I'm learning now really in this moment, is that because I don't do that, people think that it's shady. It's uncomfortable for me. I don't like to have the confrontation.
Right.
I don't like to have, because with you is different than Joe. I feel like if I would have told Joe, Tahiri said you beat her ass, he would have went.
That's heavier shit.
He would have went. He could have went out and said something on social media. Then it looks like I'm trying to tell, you know. So yeah, that one, this was different. So for that, I probably, my bad. I could have gave you the heads up.
If you fuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I think it's less about the optics of wanting to be messy and more about like just uncomfortable with it all.
But also what you got to understand and you got to take accountability for is that part of who Jason Lee is, there is a messiness. Like there's
that lie's been out there for
you
some
gotta
time.
Put it, but you do messy shit.
Me?
Like Hollywood Unlocked is messy, Jason.
Hollywood Unlocked is messy.
Yeah.
Jason Lee is not.
Yeah, but you created Hollywood Unlocked. That's like saying Nick Cannon don't be wilding out.
Wilding out is messy.
Yes, and the episode that he is on is probably gonna be our messiest.
But I got rewarded for being messy, is what I'm saying.
You got rewarded for
clap
being
messy.
You got
I'm
your
the
own
champ.
Show. If you were sitting here talking about nothing but positivity and flowers and all that shit, wouldn't nobody click or watch this shit?
Well, they would click and watch it because...
No, they tried to. I tried to do a positive talk show and...
Well, you messed up. You should have had me as a producer. I'm just saying.
So you would have had all the messiness
Well, we would have worked that thing out.
I was trying high frequency. Well, first of all, I'm glad I got the fuck up out of there because what I've learned, because now I'm on my new show, The Daily Cannon, I get to be... I get to do all the things that I couldn't do on daytime television, and I get paid way more than that because that bag that everybody thought was there that Oprah and Ellen was getting, they took all that money. That shit ain't there no more. But the ideas and the power of owning your own shit, having multiple platforms to put your brand out there, and these streamers, these digital processes, it's so much opportunity and so much money there. So I actually value what I did in Harlem with the Nick Cannon show, trying to put on for my community. The lesson that I got out of that is don't partner with people that don't understand your culture.
Period.
And therefore, I got enough money, I got enough power to do it on my own.
And you got
own.
The name and relationships already. You don't need nobody.
But I say all of that to say, but we do know there's certain frequencies. Like people, it's easier to operate in the lower frequency. There's more people down there. So you have to speak to those people. Part of your job is that you command and speak to those people very well. Where people like we're saying, like, oh, you didn't reach out because we on a different frequency. We up here, we vibrating, trying to either get to the bag, trying to focus. But somebody has to attend to low frequency people and that's
well,
you.
I tend to tune into all frequencies.
This
room is the cappuccino. When you think about the heartbeat, it's up and down.
Yeah, understood.
When the heartbeat go like this, you're dead. So for me, this is the room where we do the cappuccino.
Yeah.
And over there, I do the tea because, I do have an audience that I do serve. But I will say, like, I know that.
I done seen you throw drinks in people's face on TV.
8 years ago. And just like Chris Brown, they remind me all the time. So, you know, there are opportunities to grow. But I think the power and ownership is you get to control the journey that you're going to go
on. We have watched you evolve beautifully.
Yeah.
And if anybody has seen your journey, one thing I can say is the resilience. I mean, the fact that you get to share your story about where you come from. You come from one of the toughest places in California. You've been shot. You've been through so much. You lost close loved ones. And for you to now, the story, the journey, the happy ending that you've created for you and your family, everybody got to applaud that, man. And even in that process, if you had to, you know, dig a couple of potholes in order along your journey.
Or graves.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say graves, but as you know, you got down and got messy and got dirty a few times. But that's why I say now when you're at this place and you can see that your words matter. You got to take accountability. The responsibility of having a strong voice, especially for the culture, you got to make sure you report and are accurate with the things you put out.
I will say that on top of that, I'm 45 years old. So when you talk about low vibrational energy, if it just brings me to a place I don't want to be, like I don't.
Grown.
My fans go, why don't you go live on Instagram and tell everybody what you think anymore? Because I don't want to. Because
I don't have the bandwidth for that.
And I may not even have that thought anymore. Yeah. I just don't have the energy. But I agree with that. Now, let me go back to a couple things. Last time you were here, you had three kids. Now you have 12. potentially a 13th on the way.
That's you can the, see, the streets see, that's the shit I'm talking about.
The streets keep saying that.
See? That's that low vibration. No, I got 12.
No, I want to give you gifts because we do give gifts on the show.
Don't be giving me no dick awards like you gave Hitman.
Listen, I would never disrespect you by giving you a dick award. Okay, so first, I'm going to give you this one. This is one, I mean, not a award, this is a gift. These are flashcards.
Okay.
Yeah. With all your kids' names on.
I did, I fucked up.
But is
that Howard fucked me up because first of all, he interrupted me as I was going in order.
Right.
And the funny thing is like if you want God's honest truth, my beautiful daughter Onyx, that's probably the child that I spend the most time with.
Really?
I'm with her at least 3 times a week for the full day. But I don't put that out there in the media, social media.
Because it's not for them.
It's not for them. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, Lanisha and I have a super strong understanding and our co-parenting operation is so solid. But, you know, if you see me on Mondays, Wednesdays, or Fridays, my daughter is right next to me, whether I'm on set, whether it's just real talk because I got a nursery in my office. I'm literally gonna leave here to make sure that I can spend the most time with her. Now, not against all my other kids because all of my other kids, they're in school, they're babies, but that as well as Onyx. But the fact that I appreciate that Lanisha gives me the respect enough to allow me to have her, you know, really is as equal amount of time that she does.
So last time you were here, you had 3 kids. You had the two.
You like keep saying three kids. Now you got 12.
Because it's a journey. So you had the twins with Mariah. What does she think about all of the children?
She high frequency, man. She like, man, you high. She always asks, you all right? How you doing? You handling it all? And then she's like, long as you don't bring none of that bullshit to the manner of Carrie, like she lives in her own world. She nothing can infiltrate that. So when we talk daily, she's just checking on my spirit, and she knows that you know a lot of the, like that's the thing. I think there was a narrative out there that she was like seeking custody.
She's not even a person like that. Yeah.
But we was like at dinner the night before that. I was like, there's some shit happened that I don't know about that. Like, but it's like people will create low frequency messages to try to say that there's something wrong. So she encourages me. She's like, yo, let's make sure we on the same page every day. So if some bullshit comes up, we know that it ain't
like
true.
When you see her and Kim Kardashian TikTok and you start singing, why are you so obsessed? Because all know you was hit. You were laying the Kardashian. You, you were laying that thing in the Kardashian earlier. So when you, because when I saw the
I'm a pioneer, Jason.
By the way,
I am a pioneer.
By the way, we want to honor you with the Pioneer Award this year at my worship. But no, when you saw
no talent,
because I was somewhere watching you with Kevin. By the way, Kevin, what's his name from Entertainment
this is
Tonight?
Amazing. Kevin Frazier.
Kevin
my
Frazier.
You know we got a new show coming out.
Kevin Frazier, you know I love you, but you know you're just as messy as I am, but a little
yo,
faster,
yeah.
Right?
Kevin is fearless.
Fearless.
I would put that Entertainment Tonight mic in your face and be like, so who are you having sex with?
Right.
Oh.
But I saw him doing the interview with you at the studio, and I'm like watching it, and I'm just watching you both play out about you responding, because I was waiting to see what your response is when I saw the TikTok. It was so nice.
It was dope. First of all, I knew that was happening. And then I think, to me, I find it brilliant because a little backstory in that, the song that they was TikToking to is a record that I produced
right.
with Mariah. And it was literally, like, if you listen to the lyrics of the record, I remember when we came up with it, it was literally about a man coming home that had been out all night cheating. And she's like, I'm finished with it. I'm done with it. And we wrote it because we were married at the time as a comical song. I was like, imagine if this happened. And she came up with all of the concepts and it's a rap, really. So, and then that song went viral, became another number one. And the fact that Kim and Mariah and North and Monroe were all, I saw that as a beautiful moment. I just want to make sure my publishing checks is coming.
But I always thought we know Mariah is your soulmate. I think I saw somewhere recently that you said or somebody said that.
Yeah, I mean, I always
you're going to end up finding your way back home.
So people want, I see that in the comments a lot, but then I'm like, no, stay away from her. We glad you gone. But like, the idea is like, I never experienced that level of love from anyone.
So why don't you go back and get it?
Because it's so many, first of all, that was over a decade ago. And we are like the best of friends now. I feel like with all of the madness and shit that I've accumulate it, and I try to bring
social
that.
Media. That's social media.
But I think it would be too difficult. One, I believe she's in a relationship and she's happy. I don't want to disturb that. But then at the same time, I feel like for our children, which is the best thing and the thing that we both focus on, this scenario is a lot healthier for all of us. Because if we were all up under one household, especially in the day and age that we live right now, I think the enemy would try to attack from a bunch of different ways. So the fact that we can have we have the income, the wherewithal, the time, and the energy to co-parent in such a beautiful way. And I we didn't argue when we were married, but I have since we've been divorced, we've never had an argument.
Okay, so basically you said that once you figure it all out, y'all end up back together. That's what I'm gonna just go ahead and
What's together? How are we not together? We might be together now.
You are together, I think, spiritually. I think through your kids.
Let me break this down for you, too, because this is why I say I'll never get married again, and this is where the understanding. So maybe you're
not never?
Never. Because this is what people, if people always try have to understand what happened in our life, it wasn't nothing crazy. So to be married, you don't have, it's not about being in love with the person. To be married, you got to be in love with marriage.
Okay.
I'm not in love with marriage. I can be so, because when you're in love with, like people are like, oh no, if you love a person, you marry them. No, you won't. That's putting too much pressure on that person because you're not getting into this solidified, lifelong bond sanctioned by the government
right.
because of your love. You're doing it because society says you have
right,
to do
right.
that. So the idea of marriage is beautiful for people who are in love with marriage. That bond, that one-on-one, especially what I believe is beautiful is when people get it out the mud, grow from the bottom, and build something amazing together. Those marriages are the type of marriages that the Bible speaks about that should be exalted. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, not he who finds some chick off OnlyFans. So it's like—
Wait, don't OnlyFans shame. They're going to go, oh, they're going
to but I'm saying, I'm talking about where you find them okay. in their journey.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If I found you in high school, if I found you when we was in college together and we built, if I'm now successful and I go on your OnlyFans, you can't be my wife.
But you are both equally yoked. You're both super rich. You both are already bonded through your children. You can have a commitment ceremony.
That was the best process.
Yeah, right.
Like that was the best relationship I had ever been in because we were equally yoked, because I did find somebody that I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to worry about trust. I didn't have to worry about somebody for my money. So that's why I speak of that so highly, but I don't desire it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, in that sense, because she's moved on. I've moved on several times. So therefore now we can coexist the way that we do. But if I tried to recreate, like I'm a hopeless romantic, I call it a fearless romantic. If I try to recreate our love story that we have before, it'd never be as great as it was. We got to see it, we lived it. And in the grand scheme of things, these milliseconds that we operate in as molecules, we will be able to tell that story.
But after all the kids and all the different baby moms, do you feel desensitized to love at all?
To love, not to love, but to relationships, yes. I don't define relationships. That's why if you see how I operate now, and everyone has the opportunity to define it how they want to. I have no problem how any of the mothers of my children want to live their lives because I don't have time to bask in negativity. So whatever decisions you choose to make, I'm going to support it from how you see it. But if not, like I said, every day, like people probably gonna be in other relationships. I know every relationship I've been in, there's been a point where a woman has given up on me. So if anything, I feel like I don't want to give up on anybody else. So therefore, I'm gonna always be there for the people who love me.
So with these relationships, people tend to say, one of the double standards is the man can have all these girls and baby moms, but the women can't have other relationships.
The women can have all
so they want. The mothers of your children can have relationships with other men.
Absolutely. But then what that does for me, that allows me to see the playing field of how you value yourself. Because that's a character decision. Because I know I'm working on myself. I know I got things I got to do. I got insecurities. I got ego issues. I got narcissistic ways that I.
You have narcissistic ways?
Absolutely. I have empathy. I have empathy and I don't have rage. So those are, when I did all the testing and stuff, the two things that probably make you the most dangerous and toxic narcissist is the rage and the ability to not feel.
So that's the Kanye.
Yeah. Well, you said it. I mean, but that, so I do have that.
Wait, there's
that.
A narcissist test?
Yeah.
It's a psychological test because there's a spectrum. They call it the...
my team telling me I need to take it?
Yeah. Really? It's like three... first it starts up... The spectrum goes overconfident, which it's confidence, which we should all have. Then you get overly confident. Then you get egotistical, and then you get narcissistic. Mm. So, and then when you get to that space of narcissism, it could be very dangerous. Mm. And I definitely know I swam in the deep end of that pool. You know what I mean? A lot of times I probably made very selfish decisions, especially because of my health. Like, I just be like, fuck it, I almost died, or I'm gonna try to stay alive. And so therefore I get to these spaces where I was like, I don't care what nobody say. I'm just trying to make sure I'm healthy enough and can't deal with nobody else. But you gotta be a little bit more compassionate and empathetic during the process because people love and care differently. So I'm learning, I say all of that shit to say, I'm learning that. Mm-hmm. So therefore I know the character shit I gotta work on. But so dealing with the mothers of my children, as difficult as it may be to be involved with me, when they make certain choices, I'm like, oh, she just revealed herself. Mm. She just, that's her character.
Speaking of the deep end of the pool, we do have another gift.
Oh shit, I like this, I'm fucking with this. I'm gonna put this up. I'm gonna put this up at the Daily Cannon. I got some beautiful names too. Y'all pretty accurate on these. Zion, Moroccan, Mixolydian.
Wait, just having known Mariah a little bit, Moroccan has more of her personality, right?
I don't know. Like, I think he's more like me because he's funny.
He be talking shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
why don't you and Mariah let him go on? He needs to go on social media.
The few times we have let him go, he does it so classy.
He's so good.
Like, they said something about his mom, something. He's like, hold on. He was on Twitch. He was like, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, first of all, I don't discuss any of my family issues, and I feel like you're being disrespectful right now, and that's not why I'm here. So if you're going to continue to ask me those questions, I'm going to ask you to remove yourself.
Why like, would y'all remove him from social media? We need...
I love it, but you know, I'm...
Mariah don't.
Mariah is more of a private person, which I understand. So, you know, it's a balance, it's alignment. So I let them run. They make TikTok videos with me and do all that stuff. And they do it with Mariah too, but I kind of let them have a little bit more freedom, especially stepping into this place, being, you know, almost teenager.
Well, Mariah came to the Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards last year, and she said that Floyd bought her first pink Birkin bag. She wants another one. So I think you should get just
how much do those cost?
I don't know. I just
trust me. I tried to buy Mariah a dolphin one time. That's what I'm saying.
A dolphin.
I built the whole fucking aquarium in the Bahamas and everything. I was like, but I found out you can't buy dolphins. You got to go.
You were
going to
buy her a dolphin?
Yeah. When you have a woman who has everything,
right?
I was like, yo, I'm gonna get you. You know, she got the eye in behind. I was like, I'm gonna get you a dolphin. You can be like, and swim up and be like flipper and shit. But you can't buy dolphins. You gotta adopt those animals. You gotta have a sanctuary.
Yeah.
So we didn't have somebody to run the sanctuary. So that plan was foiled.
See, I don't think
so. So shout out to you, Floyd, with the pink Birkin. But till you can buy a woman a dolphin, you ain't shit.
You ain't shit. Listen, I'm speaking of dolphins in the deep end. Okay, here's your gift right here in this bag.
Which one is this?
This one.
This one?
Yes. And our gifts are very well thought out, by the way. Just so
like
you know,
it.
We try to tailor them to each
guest. We're going to put all of this shit out on the set of the Daily Cannon. And I'm going to talk about Jason's messiness.
He's still my Because
this is messy, nigga.
Is
this
that
messy?
No, it's not.
No, it's messy. I need flashcards for all my kids. You ain't shit. That's gonna be the little headline. Nick Cannon receives flashcards from Jason Lee.
I'm looking out for my friend.
Stupid. Yo.
What is that?
Why? Messy.
No,
I ain't even pulling this out.
No. Well, we know.
Fuck out of here. You ain't giving me trouble.
We know you have a problem.
I know when you
out.
Ain't supposed to talk.
Listen, we know you have a problem pulling out. Look, there's another gift in there.
I'm not even. What is this? This is an asshole.
No, listen.
You're a whole asshole for this.
Okay, the spermicide, we could put that aside, whatever. Okay, this is a hoe bag. Now, we never developed a hoe bag here at Hollywood Unlocked. Just take that with you. Don't worry about it.
Why do I need this?
You may not need it, but somebody else that you may...
That's what I'm saying.
We know what on the way, home.
I knew this. You and Kevin. Kevin got me a vending machine full of this shit.
What?
It's making rain. That's it.
Listen.
Kiss my ass, Jason.
Listen.
I use these.
No.
I don't use these on the people that I'm trying to create life with.
No. Do you really use them?
Yes, when I'm out here thotting.
Wait, you know what? I saw you were 42, which you're younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, as we get older, they say, I don't have this problem, and clearly you don't either, that we have erectile issues. You're not having...
Sorry for you. I guess the other way. I can't keep this motherfucker under control. He up before me every morning.
I can't. So you're basically taking advantage of. Okay, look. Okay, Masked Singer.
Oh, you ain't got. Oh, okay, yeah.
No, don't pick it up. Don't worry about it. We're gonna put that in for you. We're gonna make sure you have that to go. All right. So look, you got the Masked. So you left America's Got Talent, and then they hired that coon over there to do it.
But, messy.
That's messy.
Yes. That's my man over there. Shouts out to Terry Crews that he's referring to.
I didn't say his name, you did.
But you called him out his name, okay. Jason.
So the show is
going. I love him.
The show.
I love Tyra. When Tyra got the job first. And
no, she didn't do a good job.
I sent her flowers.
I know
on
you
first
did,
because
you're nice, Nick. You did that job the best.
Tyra Banks, she was on my list too. But she at the
to take down?
I'm talking about the women. No, I'm going to bring it back because you're going to get me fucked up the same way every time. They ain't going to be coming after me like Taylor Swift fans. So
you try to stick that big old thing in poor little Taylor. No. You and Ye need to stop it.
What I was referring to, Jason, I was saying the people I loved looking up when I was younger were Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Tyra Banks, I remember them Victoria's Secret model magazines used to come to my mama's house every week, and she was on the cover, and I just thought she was the most beautiful.
She don't look like that no more, though.
Yes, she does. Janet Jackson, Janet. Those were my top three.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, J-Lo was in there for a second, but those were my three, because J-Lo didn't come until later in life, but the women, I just had posters up, and it was Mariah Carey, Tyra Banks, and Janet Jackson. Mm.
Why you never went after the other two?
Me and Tyra became really good friends. I mean, like I said, we had worked together and stuff. I ain't gonna front. I shot my shot. Like, with early seasons of Wildin' Out, we shot Wildin' Out the same place they shot Tyra Banks' show. And I think I got too excited. I was too overzealous. The fact that she was like giving me rhythm, I was like, oh shit. And I started doing dumb shit. Like I sent the giant picture of myself with my shirt off to her.
Hilarious.
I tried to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. And she's like, this shit is corny. So I learned a great lesson that you have to treat women with authentic
respect. You don't have
respect.
To pick up the condoms. We'll get that.
But yeah, so shouts out to Tyra because she taught me a lot of lessons.
Why you never went after Janet Jackson? Bobby Brown got her.
Well, see, I didn't. That wasn't. That was because during the time, obviously, my man JD was with her, so it was kind of off limits. And anything before that, like I didn't think I could get Mariah Carey, Tyra Banks, or Janet. Like that wasn't a reality for me.
And you put her whole name on your back, picked her up, carried her all across.
Wouldn't you? You got twins. If you got your dream girl,
I've been waiting to carry.
There
got to
be a man's back that you. Who
Kelly Oubre? I would tattoo.
What man's name would you tattoo on your back?
Kelly Oubre, but not like Shamar Moore put freedom at the bottom. You can't do a tramp stamp if you a man putting your name down here because that you know.
Freedom is Shamar's.
It's his middle name, but he put it right above his butt.
He put his own name.
Yes, freedom and freedom above your ass will really cause. That's a conversation. Anyway, okay, so thank you for, I've been grieving the last couple weeks. You brought my energy back. This is what I needed.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I appreciate you. High frequency, I'm with you.
Okay, so when WAC 100 came on my podcast, he said he had a business with you called Incredible Diapers.
Yeah.
Didn't understand it, definitely understand it now.
Yeah, because.
Are you going to have all your kids in the campaign? Now
viral. You've been talking, but see, that's
viral.
WAC actually asked me to do that.
Viral. Shit.
I was like, you crazy.
Viral.
But let's talk about what this is all about because it sounds like it's probably like a weird pairing and stuff. But WAC is always trying to put on for the community at his core, regardless of when he out there talking crazy and stuff. And, you know, as an individual, there's a way to, anybody knows anything about low income families, diapers, those things like that are scarce. And so what we were doing, we're tapping with some people overseas and we were trying to provide free diapers for low-income families. And through that, that's why we created the Incredible Diaper Movement. This was before I had a whole bunch of kids. Now it makes even more sense optically. But so we were trying to put on for the community and even get the government involved because not only were we, because we weren't trying to sell these diapers, we were trying to get them from the manufacturers and get the government to pay for it in the same way like WIC programs. So you got to be smart and able to know how to put on for your community. So WAC was brilliant in bringing all of that together because it wasn't just about, oh, I'm about to create a diaper line. It was more about like, yo, we're trying to provide for the hood.
Yeah, speaking of the hood, WAC's only called me about three people. He's called me about Shaq. He's called me about Kevin Hart. And he's called me about Nick Cannon. And when he called me about you, he said, yo, bro, we got to protect Nick at all costs. And I said, what am I doing to Nick? This whole narrative, can we just
end messy.
Let me just end this narrative today. I love Nick Cannon. I do. Hollywood Unlocked has got me in so much
trouble.
I
heard I was on your shit list. That's why I was like.
I know you love me. I know. And you know I love you. I don't care like, what it looked like.
I got to go over here and talk some shit with Jason. But no, because like I said earlier in the interview, it was always based off, man, I respect what you're doing. I mean, in the sense of like, and I used to say this to Wendy, I used to say, like, I understand you got to know how to operate on all frequencies, but people don't understand how hard this job is. They don't understand where, one, you built a brand from scratch, you own your brand, it's all black owned, it's all you empower so many people, you employ so many people, and then the fact that you're still the beginning for you. You're gonna, if you stay on that path and continue to operate on the frequency that you operate
on. I'll get big enough to show up on Masked Singer.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, fuck
I can sing too. Now I'm telling you, I won't know who I am. I'll be in that bitch.
What is the goal, Jason? What is like, where do you, what do you
world domination. I want to have extreme influence. I want to have a global brand that has businesses in every part of the world. I am launching my foundation at my award show this year. So now I'm getting into the purposeful work. And yeah, I just want to keep, you know, I am.
You out here dating? Is there going to be like a power couple?
You know, I am dating, but let me tell you something. I went on a date with somebody the other day, and I told them I was single, but because we had had sex before the date, you know, they snatched the phone out of my hand as I was getting somebody's number, and it was a moment that I don't want.
So guys do that with guys.
Oh, like, and went to show out in public, so we quickly got in the car, and we quickly, God said
see, this is my only question in your world. I wonder this, because men are physical.
Yeah, you put your hands on something, that's domestic violence.
Yeah, so yeah. But who gets the charge?
You know, you might both go to jail. Now you in the cell together because
really?
You
but even something like that, like if another dude snatches my phone, I'm swinging.
Oh, you can't do that.
It's, so, but like, how do you differentiate?
Like, I will swing on some, well, now when you got money, you can't swing.
Yeah.
Because you're getting sued. Right. So that's stopped. I got security now. They wear masks with these skull.
But even like the level of argument or disagreement, like that's two dudes.
No. Yeah, but it's still like
who bows out first? Like in a traditional relationship.
No, I was in a relationship years ago where my partner was really drunk, punching holes in the wall, bust out a window, and I told him to leave, and he swung on me, and we got in a fight.
Right.
And I didn't even know it was domestic violence until later on when you, because you're with your partner fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we ended the relationship because at that point it became physical.
So then, in that process, even in the sense of because the promiscuity of men.
We hoes.
So when it's two men together, y'all just fucking everybody.
But that's why I'm in therapy now and I'm saying to my therapist, I'm going to reshape, like you, I'm taking my cues from you.
Well, I'm saying.
Reshaping what relationships are. So now I'm saying whoever I'm with, we have to be open to being open.
Because what I've learned that women do for me, and that's what's like that's super interesting because women actually align me. Like I feel like I need so much feminine energy to help me with all of this toxic masculinity or masculine energy that I'm trying to bring down because when I come home to a peaceful environment and she massages my back or she prays with me or we meditate together, that to me is what keeps me, or just the fact that they get like children, you know what I mean? Like that has given me such a different perspective that helps me become a better person. That I believe. So I was like, if I was still out here in these streets wilding with chicks that I didn't give me that, and that's why I say, like, even though, I mean, we joke about the condoms and stuff like that, but like when I made a connection with someone that I'm saying I can have a child with this person, it's usually because they've already given me so much of their self, and I show like, yo, that's they love me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what the word says, think about to be with me, you really gotta love me.
Why you say that?
Because look at all of the bullshit that comes with.
Yeah, but you're a good you're a good human being. So the internet shit, social media shit, the optics of it all that, because a lot of people don't understand it, is one thing. But who you are as a person is different.
No, totally. But even the hassle of like, first of all, for any couple to work, like you talked about earlier, as being equally yoked. But for anyone to actually sacrifice whatever it is.
Well, they have no privacy now.
Yeah, but that was like, I'm just talking about relationships in general. Like, you must that's one of the reasons why I don't fuck with a traditional relationship, because you got to make sacrifice. I think I was trying to make this point earlier, but we went somewhere else. Like, I'm at a point in my life where naturally I don't want to sacrifice for another individual. Mm-hmm. I want to sacrifice for my children, and that's about it. But I can't give time, energy, love to somebody that I just met. Mm-hmm. I don't want no new friends. I don't want no new relationships, because I value the people that are in my life so much, and I'm already spread thin enough to where it's like, I got to be attentive to that. So it's like, that helps me be aligned to where I need a woman's energy to keep me alive.
But because you're super rich and super successful, are you also doing paperwork to protect your interests? Because
I don't care about that stuff. See,
but don't you have to though?
No, because I believe true currency is your energy. And that's what I wish I could make a contract. You cannot take this much of my energy when you leave, because
period.
Because that money comes and goes. I always tell people, you know, money don't make you happy. Happy makes you money. So I'm always going to be good. And every dollar that I make is for my family. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny, because there was some narrative like, oh, Nick Cannon don't pay child support. What I was saying is, I am not in a child support system that is ran by the government.
Right, right.
Their money is my money.
Your relationship with the mothers of your kids is not controlled by the court saying pay this, pay that.
Whatever they ask.
But they try to make it seem like you are being a deadbeat dad who don't want to give their baby mom
my
the money.
My account is their account.
Yeah, wow.
And it's a lot in there. So we ain't going to run out.
See, if I had a vagina, I would have a kid with Nick Cannon. This is why. Because I want...
There's the viral moment, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Lee wants to have a kid with Nick Cannon on the next Hollywood Unlocked.
Exactly. No, actually, another bone I want to pick with you. You're doing this show. You only follow one account now on Instagram. Because I went back to see if you were following me before you came. You're still not. Whatever.
I temporarily follow the projects that I'm producing. That's all I'm going to be
following. So you're following a project that you're doing now, and you're doing it with Vibe Magazine and not Hollywood Unlocked. So let's talk about that.
Because Vibe Magazine is a staple and historically in our culture.
So are we, but okay. So
no, you're getting started.
We're there.
Like, so, that, because what Vibe Magazine represents, you got on the cover of Vibe.
You made it.
You made it. And that's what we're doing with these young future superstars.
Now, you know what me and you should do?
What?
We should buy Vibe Magazine. And I mean that. Because I'm now in the process of acquiring other.
This is this thing when everybody wants to buy shit. Like, I've been doing this a long time. I got offered to buy things. But what that does, what you're buying are problems. You're buying, if your lawyers advise you correctly, the equity of something like a Vibe or all of those things come with problems.
Of course.
And so I don't want no new problems. I'd rather create some new shit that I own. It is a clean slate, high frequency though. I bought Soul Train.
You own Soul Train?
Back in the day, I was the first person. I was gonna put Soul Train back on television on NBC. In the morning, and I was the only person that could bring NBC and Viacom together, because I was gonna have the reruns on VH1, because I was the only person in Hollywood who had a deal at NBC Universal and Viacom at the same time. Huge deal. But that came with all of the original people who actually own those things. So whenever you're telling someone's story, whenever you're taking an intellectual property that you did not originate, it comes with every lawsuit that those people ever had. It comes with every family member that person believes that their daddy started or was the CEO. So when all of those things, whether it's from the Dr. Sebi documentary that we're still making, but it's stuff you gotta do, from the idea of Soul Train, from anyone I wanna do, the Arthur Ashe story, the Marvin Gaye story, all these things that sound like, oh, you, what happened to that? What I heard you was doing that. It's usually because these intellectual properties are so clogged up with these attorneys, which we love. We love attorneys.
They do make it complicated.
And therefore, as the culture, we can't push it forward. So now I'm in the business of just creating my own. So no, I don't want to buy BET. No,
I was about to say, but you already in the Viacom, CBS world.
Whoever buy it, y'all got to pay me a lot of fucking money. That's all we're talking about. Because I'm half the market share over there.
You wouldn't want to own BET?
No. Why would I want to own BET?
Because you ran Nickelodeon.
And when you actually in those corporate things, like when you buy something, you're buying problems. create something from the beginning like you've done.
Yeah.
And now Jason Lee, now Hollywood Unlocked, can now be the intellectual property that you started from the beginning. It's kind of like a marriage.
Yeah.
Right? In that same sense, when you start it together from the bottom, it's so much more valuable than if you buy somebody else's property.
Okay, so the show that you're doing, though, do you have judges?
No, it's not a competition show. It's more like a VH1 behind the scenes where all these people that, you know, we've curated through Vibe, through BET, all these people that I partner with for the show, Live Nation, we give these artists that we believe will be headliners and superstars in a year or so, we give them their own, instead of it's a tragic story of like, oh, they could have made it, it's like, nah, we get to see that journey. So like, imagine if you got to see Drake's first tour. Imagine if you got to see Rihanna's first tour. Imagine if you got to see Beyonce's first tour. This is that process of we making these bets every season of these are the 10 artists that we believe will be the superstars of tomorrow.
Okay, because I was going to ask to be a host, but, you know, because I
Yeah, it's not, well, I got other shows that you could, like, I think you should come on The Masked Singer.
No, whatever you want. Listen, I will say again, the power of manifestation, and this is where, again, I know you say you don't want your flowers. No, you deserve them because there isn't a lot of us putting on for us. When I asked you for the job, I didn't have the confidence to do it. I didn't have the belief to do it.
Right.
You pushed me to do it, and when I came back this last time, I said to myself, I'm gonna go out there and just have, cause now I really feel like I've arrived in who I am. To me, I lost the weight.
You went crazy.
I said I'm gonna come out there and have fun. I was so comfortable. I had a good time, but
it's gonna go viral. That's all I'm gonna say. Jason Lee's team captain episode that got him to win the championship belt over there. You gonna have some problems when that comes.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. Like you said,
I'm gonna blame it in editing. And here's the deal: if I get sued, it is retribution. For the Jessica White interview, I'm confident.
Oh, there it is. Thank you. There it is. Shouts out to Jessica White.
Look, that wasn't messy, but now we got to get to the games.
Oh, I thought we just...
We almost done. Oh, no.
Thought I made it out. I'm going to let you know I am a different Nick Cannon. I'm on a higher frequency. I will be not speaking about any past activities that I was when I was in these streets. I am a father now, as Ray J would say.
Go ahead and clap it up for the disclaimer.
High frequency.
Right. But unfortunately, now we have to get to the games. All right. So here at the Jason Lee Show, we play a few games that I think we have designed in order to just, you know, clear the air and have a good time. And Nick is the perfect
guest. Messy. What's the name of this? No, messy
it
ass
is
game.
Not. All right. So the first game we're going to play requires us to use these paddles. There's a paddle right there.
Okay, cool.
Smash or pass?
I'm going pass on all of them.
No, you're not. I am confident with the people that we've selected for this segment.
See, this is what this is because, you know, I'm an open, honest individual and I keep it a stack.
Absolutely.
So these games give me, one of these games probably was the cause of my divorce, to be honest.
No. Okay. The first person, it's a colleague of yours. Nicole Scherzinger.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that's my ex. I wouldn't do it now, but I...
Oh, so we need to have a smashed
put an ED. I was so in love with Nicole Scherzinger. That's probably the only woman I've ever chased.
Really?
I chased her.
What about her?
I gave her Bible verses. Bro, I gave her a custom Bible. Because she's very spiritual and super into her Christianity. And like she was like, I'm not messing with you. You toxic. And I chased her for years before the Bible is what got me in there.
What about her made you chase her though?
Huh?
What about her?
Cool. First of all, super talented. Mm-hmm. Like beyond, like the level of talent, like the world hasn't seen how talented she is. Like vocally, she's incredible, but her acting, her humor, her impressions, and then she's just a good person. Mm-hmm. Like one of them people that like don't say bad shit about nobody. Like it's just, like you see, she cries every episode of The Masked Singer.
Maybe because she's looking at you wishing that one of those babies were hers.
Nah, I don't think so. She ain't fucking with me. She's in a relationship.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. Okay, the next person. Larsa Pippen.
She want to get fucked four times a night.
You got it in you.
I ain't got that Scottie Pippen. I'm sorry.
You got that Michael Jordan?
I got one good game a night. Now I'm going to sleep.
So you're
going to
pass on that one?
Yeah, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but it's a lot going on. Like, shouts out to Michael Jordan.
Like, no, she's with his son.
That's who I'm talking. His name is Michael Jordan.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I don't know. Well, it's young Jordan, Jordan Jr.
Jordan Jr. Okay, let's move on. Okay, the next person, she's on TikTok burning it up, Ice Spice.
Too young. Okay. She's like early 20s.
Pass.
Yeah, she's too. I salute the movement. She's the hottest in the game right now.
So what's the youngest you will go?
I think I think it's like 20. I would say 27, but if it all comes together, 25 is all right. 25. But like nothing below 25, that's a child. I could be their daddy.
I agree. 25 is, I'm 45 and people criticize me all the time. 25, you know, we can go
and
out.
And it's probably like 27 to 30 is where I'd be like, okay, I feel okay being attracted to that person. 25, I feel like I'm talking to a child.
Mm. Okay. The next person, she's lit. Julia Fox.
She needs some eyebrows. Like, I don't like that. It confuses me because she's a very beautiful woman, but I'm like, something's missing. And I realize it's the eyebrows.
But without the eyebrows, you won't know when she's
mad at
you.
Again, forgive me and shouts out to her. I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to say anything negative, but who is she?
That's Kanye's ex.
I know that, but
she's
I'm saying,
an actress.
How does she, why should I, like, why would I know her?
Cause she's right there.
I know, but I said like I never heard of her until I heard she was with Kanye.
Yeah,
like,
she's an actress. I don't know everything.
Like what
she's
is that's what she's like the.
I need to interview her so I can ask her.
Yeah,
who she
I don't
is.
Know why she's famous.
You know.
Why. I mean, I just I don't know her.
Okay, listen.
You sound like Mariah. I don't know her.
But Mariah knows who Jennifer Lopez is.
She does not know her.
I cannot. Okay, the next person.
I know her.
The next person. She has a kid. Her name is Dani Leigh.
Yeah, people don't know this. But this is another person. She will always be like a little sister to me because I've known her since she was a child. That she, if you look in all my videos and stuff from back in the day, she was, I don't say she was signed to me. We were working on music. We had a group called Curly Fries. Mm. And she had curly hair. The other girl had curly hair. And they were not only my dancers, but they were also, we would make music and stuff. And I was developing a show for Nickelodeon for them.
Okay, so we're gonna pass because she's like a
that's
sister.
Family.
Okay.
But she's beautiful now. She grew up, but that's how I can't look at Kehlani that way. I can't look at her that way. Like I've known them literally since they were children.
This next City Girls are up. Lori Harvey. Wait. This is Lori Harvey.
This is a toxic game,
Jason.
Oh, because
you're friends with her dad.
Yeah, you're gonna get me
but
fucked
Lori,
up, but she's gorgeous.
It's Lori Harvey.
I mean, if we just thought like, if she wasn't, no, I got to pass. That's Steve's.
No, see, I knew you were going to let the politics take over.
But if I didn't, but if her last name was Johnson, bam.
She's bad.
She is.
She's bad.
I salute it. She got what? Because I respect that she moving the way she want to move. She ain't letting none of the social media, like, she done look like her roster almost fucking with mine.
And she's keeping it classy, too. Like, you don't know why her and...
She move how she want to move. Like, her, Kim Rihanna.
Kim Kardashian.
I call it, like, the Madonna frequency. They do what the fuck they want to do, and they don't care what other people think, and they get respect for it.
You put Kim Kardashian in the same category as Madonna and Rihanna.
And Lori Harvey. Don't shit on Kim Kardashian. She's a billionaire and she built the empire on her own.
She let Kanye's kids sit on Pete Davidson's lap.
Hey, look, I don't get in other people's business. I got my own problems. I stay out of grown folk business, but that lets you know the level of boss that Kim is.
Yeah, okay, we're gonna
She got
going.
Kanye going crazy.
Crazy. Okay, you know
what's
funny?
How dare you shit
on Kim?
You know
what's funny? When I was walking from Chris's house.
I thought that was your partner. Didn't you FaceTime me one time, bro?
Listen.
From Kim's house?
No, I did, because when I was walking from Chris's house to her house.
In their own matching village.
In their own area, their village. She looked at me and she said, oh yeah, you're on Wildin' Out with my ex. I didn't even know that y'all had the relationship until she brought it up.
Shout out to Kim. Is she on this list? Where's she at? Mm.
So would you give her a fifth baby?
I respect Kim highly.
She still has a vagina that's not locked down.
Does Kim want more kids?
She's young enough to have more kids.
See, but Kim be letting other people have her kids.
Let's move on. Okay, the next person.
But I, like, again, that'd be an amazing child.
What? That kid would be talented for real and know how to use
and
social
And know how to get to the bag.
Right. All right, this next person, Megan Good. I recently had NLE Chop up here and he fucked it up.
Yo, Megan is amazing. That's another person that there was a point in time in life where we were best friends. Mm-hmm. Like when I love her mom, I love her sister. Like that's family.
So does she get a smash or pass?
We grew up together, Jason.
Right, which means you said, you said earlier, when you grow up, when you build up together, that's what he said.
But I'm keeping it stacked. We keeping it a stack?
A stack.
This might be the first woman that broke my heart.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have already dated?
We were kids though.
But you dated.
I don't mean date when you're teenagers. It's like,
wait, was this love? Love don't cost a thing.
Way before that.
Okay.
Megan was the first date in Hollywood. She took me to the NAACP Awards. She was nominated, and I drove all the way from San Diego on 3 wheels.
Really?
In a donut. And she, I mean, like I said, since I was a kid, and I had already known her for a long time then, but she asked me to go to the NAACP Awards when I was 16 years old. And that night blew my mind. But she never really fucked with me like that.
But what if love brings you all back together now?
That's, I love her. Mm. Like, I literally, like, that's family. So like, would you like, it's like you asking me, would you, like, these are family,
so
members.
You have to pick smash or pass.
I can't. It'd be like I said, okay. She broke my heart when I was a kid.
So, Megan, fix it.
She's one of the people, reason why I'm the canon that I am today. Okay. She broke my heart. I said, fuck that. Ain't no girl going to ever have that level of control with me.
Fix it, Megan. Fix it, Jesus. All right, this next person, before we show you her picture, we're going to show you a video because she was recently, well, we'll show you her picture. She was on our show recently, Sukiyana. But before we show you, before we get into who Sukiyana is, let me show you a clip that happened while she was recently on our show.
Okay.
Nick Cannon.
Smash.
I'm going to put this down because I still want to be welcomed at Wildin' Out.
I would smash him. Like, he is very wealthy.
He has a huge penis.
He's a black man. He has a huge penis. I can't take a huge one.
You
want
to see a picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on.
Let me see. So you
got try to call me?
Well, I get everything on my phone. I'm Hollywood.
Oh, wait. Oh, man. Why you got a picture of my dick in your phone?
I would say smash. Nick Cannon is a legend. He's a GOAT, so.
Here's Nick.
Where you get that? That's internet lies.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
She looks intrigued. Yeah. What are you showing her?
Oh my gosh. Mariah Carey was taking that dick?
Apparently all of them were.
Funny.
Bitch, I will be singing every Christmas Eve till.
I smashed just because she's funny as fuck.
Okay,
we going to talk about why you got pictures of my dick in your phone.
Well, no, we had to research it because I sent it to Danielle when it came out to verify. But listen.
You said you weren't going to be giving me no dick awards.
Listen, this is not a dick award. This is an award that was created by God. It is the Mandingo Hall of Fame Award.
That's kind
of
small, too.
Well, compared to what yours is. Yes, this is given to those who have a greater gift than a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony, or a Golden Globe. This is the Golden Eggplant. So, yes, I'm sorry.
Y'all ready to keep it?
Yeah, we're going to engrave. We're going to send you one with your name and everything.
I'll keep it. Thank you.
Wait.
My daddy's daddy, I think all my ancestors that are packing Mandinka warriors.
Wait, so when that penis leaked.
That was not me, yo.
It wasn't?
No. First of all, I don't even know. It's happened a few times, but I'm gonna let you know, I'm not a dick pic taker.
Smart.
Like, and when people ask me like why? Why? Dicks are ugly, let's just start there. Like, I understand why women take pictures of their body parts.
No.
But a dick, look at this thing. But
do you realize that you have a whole other fan base now from my community who think they've seen the real you?
Hey, like I said, what?
Well, anyway. Okay, but those
of us. I'll take a fan where I can get a fan.
But those of us that are in Hollywood, we've heard about it. You still earned it. You can keep it. Okay. Well, that's it with that game.
Let's go. I still don't know what picture you're referring to.
Well, I can't show you because you'll be offended.
Yeah,
all right, let's next game.
Don't show me.
Okay, now this next game is really simple. It's called Tea or Tweet. Now, this is a game where I ask you the tea and you have to tell me the answer, or you have to tweet something that I tell you, and you can't tell anybody I told you to tweet that.
We ran out of time, didn't we?
No, this is we're almost done, I promise. Okay, here's the tea. What Wild'n Out cast members did not support you when you got into the dispute with Viacom?
They all supported me. That's an easy answer. There was not one that didn't. Some were louder than others. Like,
oh, publicly.
You support, but everybody supported me.
They did?
My man DC Young Fly, like, everybody rocked with me.
Okay.
Well, I can't think of somebody. Yeah, they all rocked with me.
The tweet was going to be messy as hell, so we'll just let that
good.
Go. Okay. All right. This next game is called Name Drop. And this is where we're going to put somebody's picture up on the screen, and you have to say the first thing that comes to mind. Already did
I like
that
this game.
Smash or pass. Okay, right. Here we go. First person, Fat Joe.
The big homie. I love him.
All right, next person, Marcus Houston.
Go home, Roger. That's what I thought. I love him. Like, he put on for the culture. That's You Got Served. That's Sister Sister. That's I Will Never Lie Again.
Okay, this next person, you're gonna get mad at me because I heard you were mad at me about this.
What?
Orlando Brown.
Yeah, what is he going to see? This is what mental health is a real thing.
Yeah.
And that's like a soft spot for me. Like, whatever the rumors is, like, the shit was hilarious. Like, Nick been sucking dick. Like, when he did that.
But it was so unbelievable and crazy.
But I really love and appreciate this dude, one, for what he's done for the culture. But I, like, when you see when people overcome their demons, and even like his journey, wherever, I think he's doing the show now and all that. Like, I'm rooting for this dude. Mm. Like, I really have a strong love for this dude. I've probably met him once or twice when he was younger, just, you know, in passing. And so much talent. Even like I want him on Wildin' Out, to be honest.
Really?
We tried it. Like, even I'm like, if he is at a space health-wise, he can be on the show.
See, but this is what makes Nick Nick. And this is why I really feel like, I know you don't want your flowers, but to have that level of compassion, because if somebody go out saying I'm sucking dick and I love sucking dick and I didn't suck it, I'm
going to hilarious.
I'm going to let you have it.
But that's but when you can see that, even because I've dealt with mental health on so many different levels, when you can actually see someone's neurotransmitters not firing off correctly,
you have to have compassion.
I hate when people exploit him. Mm-hmm. Like when his speech pattern and different thing, like that's a manic episode. Mm-hmm. That's not entertainment. Mm. But when, again, because we all go through our things, when we're healthy and we got that process, one of the most talented young men out there, I would love to have him on Wild 'N Out.
I love that. Okay, the next person, speaking of manic, Kanye West.
Love him.
Okay.
Will never give up on him. Has done too much for the culture. He has said some god-awful, treacherous things. But I think that a lot of that probably has to do with heartbreak, and he's always wanted to be an underdog. I've known this man before he was a household name. The love that he has for his mother, the love that he had for his wife, and the love that he continues to have for his children is a real thing. When all of that is taken away from you, it's self-destruction. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're watching. But the beauty of him, in which he's always loved being the underdog. So even if, as much as the self-destruction that we are watching him throw billions away and say whatever you want to say, he now is comfortable in the space of like, watch me show y'all that I
can
get back to
the top. And I think he can come back.
He's gonna show us all. And he's gonna apologize and all the things that he did wrong. I think through, you know, a lot of therapy, a lot of education. And like I said, the Jewish community is such a loving community of teshuva, is what they call it. It's like they will wrap their arms around him and teach him why things of like glorifying Hitler and all those things are not healthy for anyone and really horrible statements.
And the last person, our friend, Wendy Williams.
Love her. Praying for her daily. Mm. She doesn't get... She's already in the Radio Hall of Fame, all that stuff, but she needs to receive her flowers. We need to the entire world needs to wrap their arms around her and allow her to get back to a space where she could be the queen that she always was.
Well, listen, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for not killing me for the work that my staff has done. I'm going to throw them under the bus. Nick, thank you so much. I love you.
Love you. Let's hug it out, man. I'm going to give you a side hug. You and me.